This podcast is brought to you by Aviation Consumer Magazine, the consumer resource of pilots and aircraft owners.
It doesn't happen often, but it does happen. A pilot will be minding his own business, and the next thing you know, he's being called to help in a bona fide emergency. Hello everyone, it's Russ Niles reporting for AvWeb. We're with Paul Reynolds, an Australian pilot who found himself in that very situation last weekend. Paul, tell us what happened.
Sure, Russ. Well, I'm a member of a gliding club that's based near Sydney, Australia. I fly the tow planes, and because of restrictions around the Sydney Basin, we don't get much opportunities to go cross-country flying. So every year the camp goes out west to country New South Wales, and flies for about 3 or 4 weeks out of a small airport. And this year it was Forbes, which is about 400 kilometres west of Sydney. And on Saturday, the 25th of January, as I was taxiing back to launch my second glider, I heard on the radio someone called, "Help, help." Now, I initially thought it was a joke, but I took it seriously and I asked the station calling for assistance, who they were and what sort of assistance they required, and I got back a fairly distressed sounding voice saying that they were in a light aircraft that had just taken off from Forbes Airport, and they were over Forbes, and the pilot had blacked out. I was the only other powered aircraft who was immediately ready to take off and try to assist the pilot. So I then launched and I started flying towards Forbes, which is about 5 nautical miles to the east of the airport, and I started calling this pilot again, and immediately I tried to establish a rapport with him. I know one of my priorities was really just to calm him down because he did sound very distressed.
So had the situation sort of fleshed itself out by then? Did you know what was going on by then?
Not really. All I knew when I took off was that there was a light aircraft over Forbes, and the pilot had blacked out, and a non-pilot was now at the controls of the aircraft. I didn't know where he was, what altitude he was at, whether or not he had control of the aircraft.
But he was able to help you out a little bit, right? He'd actually had flown a little bit, right?
Yeah, that's right. And when I got into the air and started talking to him, yeah, I started asking him questions like that. Have you been in a light aircraft? Have you flown before? And he said, yes, he had been in the aircraft about 3 times before. And I quickly located him. He was to the northeast of the airfield. And by this stage, he'd actually pointed the aircraft back towards the airfield and was flying towards the airfield. I then asked him what altitude he was at, and he was only about 500 feet above the ground. So I then talked him through how, because I felt that was an unsafe altitude for him to be at, I wanted him to increase his altitude. So I then talked him through how to climb the aircraft by going full throttle, raising the nose slightly, and I asked him to try and climb it as gently a way as possible to 2,000 feet. He really seemed to calm down as soon as he realized that there was someone there helping him.
Once Reynolds was sure the passenger, 19-year-old Troy Jenkins, could keep control of the aircraft, he called air traffic control to let them know what was going on. Emergency services and a medevac helicopter were soon on the way to Forbes.
The girl on the other end was very calm. It was like she'd done this every day of her life, and she then started thinking about other aviation resources that could be brought to bear. And I informed her up front.
One thing, you'd be thinking about a bigger airport, right?
Well, yes, that was a consideration. And Parkes is about probably 20 nautical miles to the north, and it has 4 runways, and it has longer runways than Forbes, because what was a consideration, if this guy had to land the aircraft by himself, there was a fairly strong crosswind at Forbes from the left, so that was a consideration. Was he going to be able to handle the crosswind? When I finally switched back to the young guy, he then told me that the pilot had regained consciousness, which was a great relief, but also we couldn't necessarily rely on this guy suddenly being at 100% capacity, because he had now been unconscious for up to 35 minutes, and no one knew why he had blacked out. So I wasn't necessarily going to implicitly trust the pilot to take over control of the aircraft and be able to operate it safely. So I started asking, I started talking to him, and so I started asking him some questions. Firstly, to find out what he intended to do, but secondly, the secondary purpose of those questions was to try to gauge some awareness of his mental capacity. You know, was he disoriented? Did he know what he was doing? Did he know where he was? Did he know where the airport was? His responses to me verbally seemed okay, but I then didn't want to distract him if he then was going to try and land the aircraft. He then reached a late downwind, a left downwind for runway 27, and he then seemed to make a normal approach to the airfield, to the runway, and then it didn't look that pretty from where I was, but he then landed the aircraft, and unfortunately seemed to land the aircraft safely, and he had regained consciousness and been able to land the aircraft safely. So I then landed shortly afterwards on the grass strip to the side of the runway, and the ambulance came and met him where he had parked.
The pilot, 61-year-old Derek Neville, was taken to hospital. As for Jenkins, Reynolds says he's now interested in becoming a pilot. This has been Russ Niles reporting for AvWeb. Thanks for listening.
This podcast has been brought to you by Aviation Consumer Magazine. For more information on Aviation Consumer, log on to www.aviationconsumer.com.